my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I am one of your hosts, Phelps, and my co-host and very good friend is Mr. Dave Horrocks.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to all listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, this is your pick, and I'm not going to argue or disagree on this pick. We are going back to 1983 and the original finishing sequel to the Star Wars trilogy, and this is Return of the Jedi, my friend. So, I know you give us a little bit of an insight into how you first watched this, Dave, but refresh my and everyone else's memory on it.
Well, so this is one of those rare times where a movie's been around for almost as long as I can remember, but I do remember that first time because it was in 1983, it was when it came out and it was at the cinema, and I just remember queuing up, a massive bloody queue, and it was really hot. I remember a really sunny day and just watching it and just having my mind blown. And I think we'd talked about last week that Empire Strikes Back hadn't really been on terrestrial TV in the UK at all. So, for whatever reason, never saw it on the video either. So I'd just gone from obsessively watching the original Star Wars to watching Return of the Jedi. And so it boggled my mind. It was almost like an anthology story because it had no bearing on the first movie. From what I could tell, I couldn't join the two things up, but I didn't care. I was a kid, so it's just immersed into it and just loved it. And I know it gets a bit of criticism for like the Ewoks and stuff, but for me, it doesn't take anything away because I've been with it for so long, and I hadn't seen Empire Strikes Back. I guess the criticism could come from people who, you know, thought it was going a particular way with Empire Strikes Back, and then you introduce little teddy bears and stuff and it just takes it away. But not for me. I just love this one from the start, from the get-go, and that's continued nearly 40 years later. How about yourself, Chris?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, Dave, because I think you're right. Like, The Empire Strikes Back, for some reason, on UK TV was like the evil stepchild, wasn't it? It was just... I never saw it, and I think I've got that sort of bias as well. He's like consistently watched the original Star Wars because we had it on video, always on TV. Return of the Jedi was always on. And out of the three, and I said it last week, but Return of the Jedi is my favourite out of the three of them. I love the first one. Empire Strikes Back, I don't know what it is, and it might be because I've not watched it enough. I watched it. I probably watched it about 10 to 15 times, Dave, but compared to Star Wars and the Empire, Return of the Jedi, and even stuff like Superman 2, where I just consistently watched them at my nan's on a loop or if they're on telly, it's just never stuck with me. And I think also because by the end of The Empire Strikes Back, the goodies get a bit of a kick in, which is perfect for setting it up for this movie. I'm the completist. I don't like, at that point in my life, I didn't really understand, like, oh, I'm not happy about this. This is unusual. Why is Darth Vader winning, sort of thing, and the Empire and all this? So I think that was the bias against the movie. So for this, like you said, Ewoks, everything, I absolutely love this movie so much. I had the bike things, Dave, and you used to press the button.
Speeder bikes,
and you'd press the button, didn't you, and it used to, like, explode, like it hit the tree. I had that.
Yeah,
I had them stormtroopers that rode him. I had the Princess Leia in the outfit, because I always had a lot of the figures and not a lot of the actual machine, like the ships or anything. I had the Millennium Falcon. I didn't have an X-Wing. I always wanted an X-Wing. I never had that. But I had one of these. Not that I got it. Probably got it secondhand from some, like, school Christmas fair or something, probably, knowing me, because I never had any money. But I just love this movie. The only thing I say watching it this time, I know we'll get into it, is I'm pissed off because it's fucking it's on Disney Plus. It's the bloody extra one at the end. You know, like that pisses me off at the end when they expand. We'll talk about that in a bit. But I just wanted the original OG one, and it's not there. I'd love them to say this is the OG one. It's not HD. Blah blah blah. You get the full video effect. Obviously, you'd have to watch the video to do that. But anyway, yeah, I have a massive love for this movie, and I know in the comics Emotion we did the whole Star Wars anthology, didn't we? With Scott Weatherly and Mike Byrne, mm-hmm. and it was brilliant. But just to do this as a standalone movie, I was proper excited this week because I love it.
Yeah. I mean, once the music starts up, that's it. I'm in.
Yeah.
The hairs go up on the arms. Doesn't matter how many... I'll have watched these things, you know, all of the different movies hundreds of times. And, you know, I just never get bored of it. And I was trying to think before, is there another more popular franchise than Star Wars? Like, over our lifetime?
No.
I don't think there is there? You know, it's been going for, well, you know, our entire lifetime here. And, you know, it's just been huge for most of that time as well. So, yeah, it's a big one, this one. And, I was so excited. You know, I'm going to struggle to keep my cards close to my chest here.
Stand it now, Dave, because I don't think I'll be far behind you. But anyway, Shall we get into our trailer?
Let's go.
Return for the climactic clash between the forces of good and evil. Return to a galaxy far, far away. Return of the Jedi. The next chapter in the continuing Star Wars saga. The battle for freedom rages on. The heart of a hero. The courage of a rebel. The strength of a leader. The loyalty of comrades. The power of the Force. The cunning of the enemy. Destiny revealed.
Is Darth Vader my father?
A legend fulfilled. An epic of heroes, villains, and aliens from a thousand worlds.
Eat your crap!
The quest continues. The circle closes. The saga lives on. Return of the Jedi begins May 25th at a theater in your galaxy.
Dave, now I don't normally do this because I know you do your intro, but fuck me, how cheap and nasty is that trailer?
It is awful, isn't it? And I think the thing is, you've got the John Williams score there. You've got some signature tunes in there. You know, it makes the trailer better instantly. But it's the voiceover guy. It's the trailer guy. I think it's just awful. He's just got these little catchphrases. The strength of a leader. A legend fulfilled. It's just, oh god, it's crap.
That's like the martial arts levels of trailers, isn't it? You know, like the martial arts movie, you know, this man is on a mission, you know. It's like, you know, it is that level. That's proper cheap, that, because at this point as well, Star Wars was a massive franchise around 1983 anyway. It was huge. Yeah. It completely took over the world, didn't it? It was just a massive, you know, juggernaut of retail sales, as well, the figures, everything. It was just, it was probably one of the first movies to absolutely grab people when everybody wanted a piece, didn't they, of everything, you know, of all the merchandise and everything. But what a fucking shit trailer that is. But anyway, sorry, Dave, I cut you off there.
Pretty much give away the bloody film as well, like, you know, is Darth Vader my father? I've not watched Return Empire Strikes Back, you bastards.
Maybe that's why. I mean, you were saying about Empire not being on UK TV. Maybe this trailer was on and everyone's like, oh, we don't need to watch it now. It's just ruined everything. Fucking weird.
Yeah.
So
awful. Anyway, Chris. So, a year after Han Solo's capture, C-3PO and R2-D2 are sent to crime lord Jabba the Hutt's palace on Tatooine in a trade bargain made by Luke Skywalker to rescue Han, who's still frozen in carbonite. Disguised as the bounty hunter Bosch, Princess Leia infiltrates the palace under the pretense of collecting the bounty on Chewbacca and unfreezes Han, but is caught and enslaved. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Oh, Dave, you know what I will say? I actually had that Princess Leia bounty hunter outfit as well. And you could take...
Yeah.
I don't think you could take the mask off. I think the mask stayed on her, but I had that figure.
Oh, I remember... So the figure...
Yeah.
Well, maybe there were different variants of it, but the one I had, you could take the helmet off. Maybe,
you know what? You could be right. I always remember just having them. Maybe I had it and didn't realise you could take the head off it, Dave. But anyway, when I was playing Star Wars, but yeah. it starts Star Wars DNA. And you know what? You know what sort of pissed me off as well is we've just done Boba Fett. In this same thing, in the palace and everything, you know, and Boba comes in there and obviously takes over, spoilers and all that. And it's sort of, not discrediting this movie, but you're sort of thinking, pretty shit, really, Disney, because they didn't really do much with Boba Fett. And they used, you know, it was all around the time, it's after, obviously, Return of the Jedi, that was. But I think when I watch it now, and you watch the way that, like, obviously, Thingy's in there, Lando's in there, Princess Leia, Chewbacca, you know, she brings him in and all. I mean, Chewbacca's there, Dave. He's about 8 foot tall, and Princess Leia, this bounty hunter's got Chewbacca, and Jabba's like the mighty Chewbacca and all this, and it's just like, there's no way she'd actually have infiltrated and sort of kept him, imprisoned him and stuff to take him to Jabba the Hutt. But I'd read this, and I know we were talking before the podcast, but I'd never realised the reason that they froze Han Solo, because Harrison Ford is a cock, Dave. And it annoys me so much, Harrison Ford. I've said it before. I think he's one-dimensional actor. He's an arrogant fucker. And I loved the trailer for The Force Awakens when he comes in with Chewie and it was like, you know, we're home sort of thing. Proper lump in the throat thing. I'd watched the reactions of all the big Star Wars sites. There's a massive montage of all, like, the wind, everyone watching, about 30 people on one video. It's brilliant. And everyone's getting dead emotional and stuff. But I just think he's arrogant. I don't think he's a good actor. And it ends up me fucking hating him even more. Even, I used to love Han Solo as a character, but I just think Harrison Ford's a bellend. I'm thinking sometimes, like, he should have just fucking stayed in the carbonite. I don't think he really offers much in this movie, Dave, to be honest.
Not really, but... It is a weird one because the franchise gave him so much and he just seems so massively ungrateful for it.
Yeah.
He just doesn't give a shit. And so it's never sat well with me either. I mean, when you're playing Star Wars as a kid and stuff, I always tended to be Han Solo.
Yeah, me too.
Mate of mine was blonde, so he ended up being Luke Skywalker. You know, there's good reasoning as any when you're a kid. But, I don't know. I do love the character. And I do think Harrison Ford has got massive charisma.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Questionable whether, you know, he's a great actor. Because, you know, he doesn't melt into different personas. I mean, basically, he's Han Solo or he's Indiana Jones. He's essentially the same delivery each time, isn't he? You know, whichever of those big roles he does, or the president. Say.
Yes.
But yeah, it really irritates me. You see in countless interviews how he's just, like, dissing on the franchise, and it's just like, fuck off, you bellend. I fucking want to love you, but you're just, like, you treat this with utter disdain. You know, and it's like, well, what were you doing? Did you want to go back to being a carpenter? Did you just feel bitter that this franchise robbed you of your carpentry? I don't get it. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one, Chris.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because you get, and you're right, Dave, you get these actors and actresses who a role, unfortunately, will always pigeonhole. Like you say, Harrison Ford's lucky because Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, Indiana Jones, that was a completely different character. And you can park the two characters, the two massive, massive franchises. At this point, he was huge, wasn't he? And that, I think because he'd done the Indiana Jones stuff, he didn't want to go back to do Star Wars. He's like, oh no, I'm past all that. Like these actors, I hate that with actors where they're like, they don't embrace the character that made them who they are. No, no, no. I want to be somewhere else. I don't like, you see the soap actors and they fuck off out of Coronation Street in EastEnders. And then about 2 years later, I'm going to Hollywood. 2 years later, they come skulking back because no fucker thinks they're any good at acting, but they're good enough to walk down Coronation Street Street tossing off Kevin Webster and stuff, Dave. You know what I mean? So he's just like, always.
I've not watched Corey for years, and now I'm wondering who's wanking off Kevin Webster.
No, but you know what I mean? When they get too big for the boots, it obviously worked for him, and you're right. Clear and Present Danger, or whatever they're called, The Fugitive. You know, I've watched them movies. He's good in them. He is good in them. But I never, every time I watch them, I'm just like, you know, I'm gonna be fucking controversial now, Dave, as only Chris will. You know who Harrison Ford is, Dave? He's a fucking vintage version of The Rock. The Rock, love The Rock. The Rock is the same character in every fucking movie. He does not deviate. There's no different acting. You know, I've watched him in all sorts of movies. You know, the Fast and Furious franchise. Even that one on the steamboat with Emily Blunt. Great movie, Disney one. It's really, really good movie. He's just The Rock, Dave, in every single film. He does not deviate at all. I know we did Thingy a few weeks ago, didn't we? What did we do on it?
Southland Tales,
yeah. So you know, he's slightly different. He was trying to be a little bit different, but he is the same character. He's embraced who he is. I'm sure when he does Black Adam Day, which is going to be out later on this year, he's just going to be The Rock in everything. He's going to be,
oh yeah,
exactly. But
he's going to give the eyebrow lift, yes, isn't he? You know, yep. It's Black Adam. It's just all the same things. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Embrace what got you to the table, and I think that's what The Rock has done over the 10 years. Hence why he's the biggest actor in the world. He's not the best actor by any stretch of the imagination, but financially and box office, he is the biggest actor in the world. And Harrison Ford was at this point. I'm with you, Dave. I want to love him as a person, but I think he's one of them people, do not meet your heroes. Because Han Solo, for me, was always better than Luke Skywalker. As I've got older, I've appreciated Luke Skywalker. I had all the Han Solo figures and everything out of all the movies. And he was just he was a hero of mine. I was like, what a guy. He's cool. He don't give a shit. He's anti-establishment. He does his own thing. He kisses the girl. A little bit rapey now when you look at it, Dave, in 2022. But at the time, he was a hero. You know, like, he didn't give a shit. He just sort of wore his heart on his sleeve. It's just a shame. And this is no slant on the movie, because Han Solo is one of the most iconic characters for me ever. I absolutely love the character, but he's just a dick, Dave, an absolute dick. And I know that's taken us away from what we're talking about. We're actually talking about the movie, but it's just, I wanted to bring that up because it always bugs me. And I know I brought it up when we did it with Mike and that. It's just a shame. And I know Mark Hamill, he almost plays second fiddle, but the story's about Luke Skywalker, isn't it? The whole trilogy. But every time Han Solo's on the screen, he just takes the scene away from him, doesn't he, because of the charisma that he's got.
Yeah. And he's sort of created this character, this template, this anti-hero, you know, because Luke Skywalker, especially in the first movie, he's just, you know, he's wanting to do good, isn't he? He's wanting to be the good guy. Whereas Han Solo, don't give a shit. You know, he's quite happy to just do a job, get paid. You know, he's working to his own agenda, but he just happens to end up, you know, being that person with a heart of gold. You know, and I think that's replicated so many times through so many movies since. But you're right. I mean, watching this now, post Mandalorian, post Boba Fett, where they've spent a lot of time on Tatooine, I don't know if it's enhanced or it's certainly coloured going back and watching it this time. Because in those series, they spend a lot of time on Tatooine. And obviously you know what kind of happens after. I mean, the ending of Season 2 Mandalorian in particular, where you get the kind of black-cloaked Luke Skywalker turning up, kicking ass, you know, using the Force choke, you know, using a bit of the dark side of the Force. Seeing that, helped me realise, like, in this one, well, actually, Luke is tapping into the dark side of the Force, isn't he? Straight away. When he walks into Jabba's palace, he's using a Force choke, and it's like, oh, I didn't see this before. You know, I didn't really pick up on the fact that he's not the ultimate good guy as such. You know, he will use what's needed in certain situations. But I just love it, the whole bit in Jabba's palace, and I know what's coming, but I still get excited when it does come. You know, when you get Princess Leia, she unfreezes Han and she thinks, you know, she's about to rescue him, and then you just get, Jabba, can you imagine, like, while she's unfreezing him and stuff, Jabba's at the back like, whoa, be quiet, you know, because everyone is there. Like, literally, his whole entourage are just waiting behind the door. It's like, this will be a classic. And they even managed to keep Salacious Crumb quiet. You know, the little rat thing that he's got there. You know, whoa.
Like a Fraggle, isn't he?
Yeah, little Fraggle. Even managed to keep him quiet. So, I just loved it. And so many great lines as well. And just quotable, you know. I must admit, I watched this back now and I'm like, yeah, why did we all sort of fawn over Boba Fett? Because he's just shit.
He's
got this
shit.
Little piece of string fiery gun thing that somehow wraps around Luke, you know, and then flies into fucking Jabba's little carrion vessel there and falls into the Sarlacc pit. Yeah, fail.
Yeah, that's what it's always, and I've said this loads of times, I know, Dave, I'm bored, you senseless with this when we've done the Boba Fett stuff, but it's always fascinated me, this absolute underground love for Boba Fett. He's nothing, he's pretty shit. He, like you say, he falls in a pit. He doesn't have much. It's not like he goes toe to toe with Luke, and because Luke's a Jedi, he just gets a bit better than him. He's just crap. It's like pantomime levels of fighting. But this whole, and I had the figure. The figure was ace, Dave. The figure was one of the best Star Wars figures, Boba Fett. I had the figure, and I used him. I used to reinvent him as a character, and so he was actually he'd fight Darth Vader, Dave. He was that good, you know, like, because I just loved the figure, but. He's shit, and I just don't get it. I mean, I didn't enjoy the series anyway. I didn't enjoy it at all like I thought I would. It's nowhere near The Mandalorian. The best version of that series, spoilers, is when we basically get the Mandalorian intro to Series 3, a whole episode of Mandalorian. That is the pinnacle of the whole series, which is ridiculous. A really, really weird design choice from Disney. But, yeah, I just didn't get it. I never get that bit, and when you watch the fight thing now, though, Dave, it's pretty shit on that fucking thing where they're going to fall into the sand. It's pretty rubbish. I mean, I always loved the bit with Lando and Han where he can't see and he's trying to get him. And it's a bit like slapstick, isn't it, Harrison Ford? The characters there, like, shooting, knocking people over and all this sort of thing because he can't see. But I think it does pick up at this point from there, because you do get this whole thing. Luke goes off to Dagobah, doesn't he, to see Yoda. You know, you've got the Darth Vader revelation, which he found the last Obi-Wan turns up. Again, though, Dave, we talk about Han Solo, and this is more not at the film, because I love the film, but fucking Alec Guinness, complete contempt for the whole franchise. He was even worse than Harrison Ford. He hated playing Obi-Wan Kenobi. Then he was proper, like, thought he was bigger than the franchise. It's just so strange, me, how they had so much hate for this franchise. And I know Alec Baldwin was a massive actor anyway. He was a massive Shakespearean actor.
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin, I thought that. No, Alec Guinness. Forget him. That's a different rabbit hole. Let's not fucking even talk about that. But Alec Guinness is just, whenever you see him interviewed, he just had complete contempt for the franchise. I never, ever understood what... It's as if George Lucas had just pissed everyone off. It was really strange.
Now, I'm going to be slightly hypocritical here, because I'm going to forgive Alec Guinness for it, because he was the one established actor that they had. You know, he was a genuine big name when they had that original Star Wars. And they brought him in to give it, you know, that bit of gravitas to the movie. But the rest were, like, just pretty unknown actors. So Alec Guinness was already massive at the time. He'd already done loads of movies. And so I can kind of get someone coming in just to pick up the paycheck, you know, and you know, not particularly enjoy being in the franchise. I mean, even in the first one, didn't have a massive bit, did he?
No.
You know, basically, they get to the Death Star, gets killed, you know, and he has a few lines, so he probably rocks up every now and then, you know, to the voice recording studio, use the Force, Luke, you know, and he says all these little iconic lines and stuff, but in terms of days working on a project, he's not going to have done that many, so I can almost, I wouldn't say forgive him, but I can almost get it where he's just not that into it, because he's not invested that much of his life into it, but he's just become this massive thing, but I am a serious actor, you know, and this is all about fucking Flash Gordon type space alien fighting and stuff, so I can half get it. It's the fact that Harrison Ford came from, you know, he basically, if this didn't work out for him, he'd have given up acting, and so he owes his whole career to this franchise, but treats it with massive disdain. I think that's why I look at them slightly differently there.
It's interesting. That's a good take, actually. You're right, because they all were unknowns, weren't they, Dave? You're right. And I've never looked at it from that point of view. But I think as well, it's like, you know, the movie at this point, we're in the third act of this whole franchise. Mm. Me and you pretty much grew up thinking that this was the end of it, didn't we? Like that. Yeah. I never thought they would make another set of Star Wars movies ever. I just took it as this was the end. I was completely happy with it. I was happy with the conclusion. It's just really bizarre how people are towards movies that have made them successful. It's almost like it's beneath them. Mm. But anyway, it doesn't distract from the fact that this is a great movie. I know I'm totally railroading everything here, Dave, but it's just a cracking movie, and when you get like the whole thing with Luke, he's more measured in this movie, and he's a year after obviously Empire Strikes Back. He knows the one thing that always bugs me as a Star Wars fan, Dave. Where the fuck do people not notice that someone's building a moon, a huge moon, yeah. Right? Where
they sourced all the materials from?
Exactly. does like one ship arrive and they go, right, here's the core, let's build round it, and they just keep building like an ant does, you know, with a nest, and they just keep expanding it, and it just keeps going, and I'm doing a circle motion with my hand now, Dave, like you would understand me, but you understand what I mean? Like, I always think, well, I shouldn't even think about this because it's stupid, but did they build it on a planet, and then they just they offer what they've built up and then they build round it? I never understand that. And then it's like no one's noticed that this massive fuck-off planet has just appeared again in the fucking the ether there. I know the universe is huge, but it just, word would spread, wouldn't it? Like, oh, hang on, what's this? That's not a moon. You know, it's fucking weird.
You know, I'm pretty sure there's either a podcast or a YouTube explaining it.
Yes.
But, no, I mean, it's not a planet, is it? I mean, in Force Awakens, it's planet-sized. But in this, it is more moon-sized, so much smaller. And I guess, you know, if you think of the engineering, you would have to probably, I don't know, you could build bits of it and then fly up bits and attach it like Lego, kind of in space. But, yeah, well, we're not talking about the ninth installment, but, you know, if you talk about building one little Death Star, you know, and how would you get all the materials? Where do you get all the contractors to build a damn thing in the first place?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and everyone would know about this thing. But the fucking Emperor in the last one, you know, he's like, he's got this massive fucking army, hasn't he? This whole fleet. And it's like, what, you've just been fucking hiding that for the previous 8 chapters, have you?
Oh, it's nonsense, isn't it, that one? I mean, I love their movies, Dave, you're right, the latest ones, but that whole idea that all these Star Destroyers have just been hidden in the clouds somewhere is bullshit, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah,
really, but, is bullshit.
I tell you, I don't think, when I was watching this as a kid, I really listened for all the dialogue. This bit with Yoda, like I say, when I'd watched it, and I didn't know who Yoda was because I hadn't watched Empire Strikes Back. So, you know, he's just talking to a little Muppet as far as I was concerned. But you think about it...
He's like Miss Piggy, if you don't mind.
Exactly.
He's Miss Piggy, is he like basically.
Kermit's dad or something. So,
Ridley Frog.
But there's some big boulders in here, aren't there? You know, big things that hit you. So he's asking Yoda about, you know, my father. Is Darth Vader my father? And then when you go out and, you know, he's speaking to Obi-Wan after Yoda passes away and he disappears, he's talking to Obi-Wan. And then that's the next bombshell, which is like, oh, Leia's my sister. And it's like, whoa, where yes. did that come yeah. from? You know, there was no talk of that. Again, when I'm watching it as a kid, I guess you're just assuming that the romantic interest is Luke Skywalker and Leia. And if you look at those original Star Wars posters as well, it's the classic kind of, it's almost like a sword and sorcery poster, where you've yeah. got Luke, he's holding the lightsaber above his head, and then you've got Leia just sort of draped across his feet kind of thing. That's not brother and sisterly, you know. So again, I think we called this out when we spoke to Mike and Scott. There's no way Lucas had this fucking little twist in there from the start. He just fucking pivoted on this and, you know, decided, oh, let's make the universe even smaller, you know, and keep it in the family.
Well, Dave, I tell you one, the one thing, and you're right, I completely agree with this, because the one thing that would have been completely off was the fact that he fucking snogs his sister. So, you know,
the second one. I didn't know that when I watched this the first time, though.
No, but you know, you look at Back to the Future, you know, Marty gets in the car with his mum and she's like, it's like kissing my brother, you know, and all that sort yeah. of thing. You'd think they would play on that, or it would be like they never actually kissed or anything, but there was always that, like, the whole three of them together, little triangle. And I agree. I don't think he had any idea. He just threw that in there at the last minute. She's his sister. Oh, yeah, let's go with that. What about the kiss in the last minute? Oh, forget that. People all understand. They didn't know at the time. It's just like, no.
Yeah.
It's fucking... not. Yeah.
This would not happen in the internet age, would it? I mean, this is still early 80s, and so George Lucas is like, yeah, no one will remember that. I don't even think, you know, videos weren't massively popular. You know, not in the UK anyway. You know, so you got more into the mid-80s, I think, when VHSs started to get really popular. And Betamax, we had a Betamax tape.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not as if, you know, there's an online community pouring over the continuity. So they'd have just not given a shit. They might have even forgotten themselves.
Yeah, and I think as well, Dave, going back on the whole sister thing, is obviously in Star Wars, Princess Leia meets Darth Vader. She's captured by the Empire, isn't she? And again, even though it's all like your thoughts betray me and we get all this in this movie and Obi-Wan, the fucking Force is so fucking schizophrenic.
Convenient.
Because that's Darth Vader's daughter, as we find out now at this point in the movie. There's no fucking way, because he even says it with Luke in Star Wars when he's chasing after Luke when he's trying to destroy the Death Star, and he goes, oh, the Force is strong with this one. You know, like, it's like, he would have sensed...
It's not strong with Leia, though, is it?
No, exactly, that's what I mean. He's like, he would have sensed his fucking daughter at some point. But I do love the way that it sort of gives you that thing that Leia's got a bit of Force magic in her. When she says the talking and she's like, it's like... sister, you know when it all revealed, I do like all that. I do like that reveal. I love when Luke's memory, his mind betrays him, and he's like, "Your sister," you know, because the Emperor and Darth Vader are targeting Luke as like they want him on side, they want him to come to the dark side and everything. But then it's sort of like, "Oh, hang on a minute, we don't have to go after you because we realise that we can't really turn you, but we can turn your sister." So I do love that even now, and they play on that with the Rey trilogy as well. That whole. We don't know who's Rey's family is, and then we get the big reveal and everything. I don't know whether the payoff was worth it in the end, but it's very similar
to this the way they do it. And I do love that about The Force, because really, we've talked about this loads of times on the other podcast, but The Force is pretty shit, really, isn't it? It doesn't do a lot. And the fact that you need the Book of Boba Fett, Series 2, spoiler guys, to actually see fucking Luke Skywalker being the most powerful Jedi ever. We never see it in any of the movies because he's too old. By the time he's killed Darth Vader in this one, and the Emperor's gone off into the fucking clouds, allegedly, we have this 30-year gap to The Force Awakens, and he's an old man living as a hermit. So it's like, it repeats, it's such a shame they didn't carry that on, because Luke Skywalker was just so powerful at this point, and they just never, for me, they never built on his character and what he, the payoff of what he had to do to get to that point.
Well, it's just an interesting choice, isn't it? Because if you think about it, we went from, this came out in 83 and continued to be huge, and then George Lucas was fannying about with things like Howard the Duck. Right. And you know, he had the, I don't know if you ever saw the Ewok movies, Chris.
We've never.
They are so bad. Even as a kid watching and loving the franchise, they were still bad even then. So I imagine they'll age fairly horribly. And then you get to 1999. So fucking years later, and he decides to do the prequels. But you're thinking, well, actually, if he did, if he carried on the story, he could have carried on with Mark Hamill, you know, Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford and what have you. So that would have made more sense. But instead, he went backwards, you know, to choose a whole bunch of different actors. And so it's like, well, if you were going to finish or continue the story, surely it was better to go forward. Whereas, you know, to pick up the sequels, you know, you kind of have to, especially if you want to introduce the actors in, you have to make it 30 years after, don't you? Because, you know, like you say, Mark Hamill, he's an old guy now. So, and even when Force Awakens come out, the de-aging technology was not that great at that time, was it?
No,
so it wasn't. It was only in the Marvel movies, really, that seemed to push the bar, and just suddenly you're like, oh, fucking hell, like Michael Douglas looks like, you know, Romance in the Stone Michael Douglas in Ant-Man kind of thing. Or was it?
Brilliant, actually, Michael Douglas Day. That's one of the best ever de-aging we've
Kurt
commented
Russell,
on that.
They did it too, didn't they? In Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And then you're like, fucking hell, this is black magic sort of thing, you know. But if they'd have had that, then maybe they could have done a different storyline with Mark Hamill. But you know, it's a weird one. I mean, we're going off the Return of the Jedi, but I mean, it's difficult to only stick onto one movie in such a massive franchise. But what do you think about when they're getting together with the Alliance and, you know, setting up the team? I mean, old Han Solo, not much of a planner, is he? In this massive fucking meeting, not even got his command crew sorted. You know, and I like how the scene plays out, but it's all a bit, you know, again, watching it as an adult now, it's like, that's practically, that wouldn't work like that.
No, well, you know what he is really, Dave? Han Solo's me, isn't he? He's got his meeting, not really listening, no fucking plan of what's going to happen, and he's relying on everyone else to fucking put it together, and he's just going to come in and steal the glory. That's basically what Han... Maybe I should be so hard on him.
Yeah, that is a great point, to be fair, because they're like, Solo, have you got your team sorted? Yeah, I've got my team. Not got command crew, got my team, though. So who's your fucking team, then? So basically, everyone you need to be up in the cockpit with you. Yeah, you've not got anyone sorted, have you?
No, he's just blagging it Chris Phelps style, but anyway.
Oh,
fucking
but
brilliant.
This is where it all comes together. But one of the criticisms I have, if I think about this for too long, so I'll say it, but it doesn't stop my enjoyment of the movie at all, is, again, this thing of Lucas, so-called, having this all planned out. It's like the first one was a massive hit, obviously. I mean, that's understatement of the century, really. But, you know, massive hit. And then you get to the third part of the franchise, and it's like, now there's a bigger Death Star. And I think, like, Family Guy and Peter Griffin was talking about, you know, he's got a great idea for a movie. It's called Bigger Jaws. And, you know, it's a bit like that, isn't it? It's ridiculous. They hadn't had anything particularly original. It's just going to be another Death Star. But like I say, that's if I think about it for too long. But again, the nostalgia just washes away that those thoughts of doubt, to be honest.
Yeah, it does. It's still a fantastic movie, Dave. And I think when they end up on Endor and that, and with the Ewoks, and we get the introduction of the Ewoks, like, I had a couple of the Ewok figures. Never really bothered me, but then when you watch the fighting as you get older, and I know we've addressed this in the past, but they sort of take out a lot of the stormtroopers by throwing rocks and twigs at them, Dave. Yeah. These mighty stormtroopers, this all encompassing, you know, we know that it's a big reference to, like, unfortunately, Nazi Germany and stuff like that. These absolute psycho supposed army, and they get hit by twigs and sticks and rocks, and it's pretty shit, really. But you do get the heartwarming stuff. I mean, I love the bit when they get captured and see 3PO's, like, the leader. They think he's amazing, don't they? Because of, like, the scriptures there, and it's Luke. Yeah, and he's telling the story, isn't he? And we're getting R2-D2 doing, like, the Darth Vader noises and everything. I always liked all that. I know people say it's cheesy and it's shit and that, but I just took it for what it was as a kid, and I still now, it doesn't bother me. It's all part of what's going to happen. And I do like the end bit. I must say, when I watch it now, there isn't a lot to the movie, really. You know, like, when it's set pieces, there's a lot of set pieces, but there's not a lot from when they get out of Jabba's palace and everything to this. There's just filler bits to it, and they send, like, the whole end bit. I love the chase. I love the chase on them bike things. I love them. I'd love that bit, Dave, so much. The speed, like, you know, yeah. Princess Leia. I do, honestly. As a kid, I used to think, oh, fuck. And I always played with the figures and everything. I used to think it was brilliant. And you press the button and it all destroyed, like, it hit the tree and everything. It was really good. But again, the fucking stormtroopers can't hit with band over banjo, Dave. Fucking rubbish. The only thing they hit is Princess Leia when she takes one in the shoulder. That's the only time she is in the whole franchise someone actually
takes
one.
That was probably a warning shot.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
But you're right. You're totally right. And joking, it is daft things like that. But I do like that bit with Han Solo when he's trying. He's like, right, this he's trying to hotwire the fucking door to get in so they can disarm, like, the shield. And then he fucking door shuts again. It's just like, it's just silly. It's just silly, silly things. But if you take a step back as a movie, it's basically the first movie done again. That's why I think everyone likes The Empire Strikes Back so much. It's a completely different movie. But the first and third one, like this other prequel, sequels that we've just seen, Dave, it's the same story. I mean, that bit at the end of The Rise of Skywalker, when Poe Dameron comes in, which I know Oscar Isaac gets a lot of praise. I don't think he's a great actor, must have been. I've not watched Moon Knight yet. I will.
Oh, you should watch Moon Knight.
I will. I might think differently, but I think there's the bit in it where they're like, he's doing the Lando bit, like the, oh my God, what are we going to do? And then all of a sudden, the whole fucking sky is full of fucking ships ready to take out the Empire again. It's the same stuff again, just basically regurgitated, but I'm a sucker for it, Dave. Absolutely love this battle. I love all of this part of the movie. I really do. I love the fight with Darth Vader. But watching it this time, it still pisses me off when Darth Vader picks up the Emperor and he says no or whatever he says, because he doesn't do that in the first movie.
It's the worst.
Fucking annoys me so much.
Well, you know, we do say we dust off the old video player, but unfortunately I did watch this on Disney Plus, and I've never longed for my old video player, an original fucking, you know, theatrical cut. I'd forgotten about the no. And I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake, why have you done that? Yeah, when they do it in Revenge of the Sith, it's bad enough then. But to take that same kind of idea, as if you're being really clever, and, you know, that's one of Darth Vader's catchphrases, that let's put no in there. It's like, somehow, the way they've shot that scene is fantastic, because you can kind of get his emotion. You can see Anakin's emotion, you know, and he, as Luke Skywalker's being fried, you know, you can see the conflict within him. And to put the no in there is just, it's so bad, it's so cheesy, and I got genuinely fucking pissed off, because I'd forgotten about it, I forgot it was coming, and it came, and I was just like, oh, fuck's sake, would you just give us the originals, please?
Yeah, and you know, and I'm with you, Dave, because I think, for me, what I always loved about it was that Darth Vader has such a prominent voice. James Earl Jones, I know obviously he was put in post because it wasn't actually, it wasn't David Prowse originally, and they didn't like his voice and that. But I think because his voice is so, it's so commanding, it's so imposing, the breathing, everything, the fact he doesn't speak when he does that in the original one, for me, delivers on it so much more than him doing that. And I'm sure that, I know that's what you've just said pretty much, but it is, I agree, it's just, it's so wrong to do that. It's what a silly design choice. Obviously George Lucas wanted it in, but I just think it makes more sense because he doesn't say anything. It's his actions, it's the physical acting of that scene that always took it away from me. I was always like, oh, fucking get in, he saved his son without having to do it. And yeah, so I'm with you. When I watched it, I was like, oh, fuck off, that's just nonsense. And it's still a great scene. He throws him obviously down, still bullshit. You know, it's like Darth Maul levels of how the hell can he come back from there, the Emperor. It's just fucking bollocks, that. The fact it comes in the original sequels. It's like, and the whole fucking Death Star blows up as well, which is bollocks, because unless he's landed somewhere and got off, it's bullshit, Dave. I know he's different because he's the Emperor and that, but that bit always puzzled me completely with that, with knowing what we know now.
Yeah, but I tell you what else is bullshit, Chris, and again, you kind of go with it, and I can see what they're trying to do there. But Luke's obsession with there's still good in his father. I mean, I guess, you know, by the end, you know, he's returned to a Force ghost. But basically, Chris, this is fucking space Hitler, isn't it?
Yes.
He is the worst. He has killed and decimated so many people. And Luke's like, yeah, but there's a bit of good in him. Well, yeah, but just, can you, one, pause onto that thought, right? Get him to stop killing people for a while, you know, and he's racking up a right old tally there. You wouldn't fucking be able to redeem Hitler, would you? You know, after the fucking war and stuff, you wouldn't be like, yeah, but, you know, I know he used to be a bit of an artist, you know, a bit of a vegetarian, but I think he's redeemable, you know. No, he's not. He's fucking not redeemable. So, I don't know. I've seen a meme with, like, you know, Luke saying, oh, yeah, my father's redeemable. Like, you know, there's still good in him. Whereas you get Kylo Ren turning up. Master, I've had a bad dream. You must die.
But that's true. That's true. No, joking aside, that is true. The Kylo Ren thing you could just see in the newer sequels, like, he's decimated. He went to the fucking Jedi Temple and killed every fucking child in there.
Younglings.
He's not going to be sat there eating fucking, you know, drinking, was it Batchy, whatever they, or whatever it is. You know, he's not going to be sat there having a fucking chat about days gone by. Yeah. He's just not going to go. But I'm with you. And I think as we get to the end, when they blow up the Death Star, when we get the whole thing at the end, again, another really bad design choice. I know this was in the remaster. I think it's when they did Phantom Menace, they redid them all, didn't they? And George Lucas put that bit in about
the special edition ones.
Yeah, especially with Jabba the Hutt, where he walks over the back of him, doesn't he, Han Solo and everything. And I know that's there in Disney Plus. Is it the original Star Wars, where he walks over the back or whatever it is, but it pisses
because they
me
just
off.
Had a bloke who looked like he was on Game of Thrones or something, and so he walked around him. I remember that all
it's
coming
so
out.
Bad.
It was so new, all that CGI stuff, wasn't it? And it was like, oh, wow. But now I just think, stop dicking around with it. He should have just fucking left them alone. There is nothing in these extra bits that makes any of these movies better.
No, there isn't. And I know, I get, like, with the original stuff, they expanded the whole universe, you know, the Phantom Menace and everything. They did all that, the trade stuff, the boring shit about everyone sat there like they're at the Houses of Parliament and all that bollocks. Even E.T.'s in that one, Dave. But it's all, it's just, it, at the end, when we get, like, the scene now that's on Disney of everyone in these other, like, planet, cities, whatever, they're all celebrating because they've, you know, because at this point, George Lucas didn't think of the bigger, wider universe, did he? It's just that these were fighting against these, that's it, it saves the galaxy. We didn't need to think about the other planets, but because they tried to expand it and go backwards and rewrite history, it don't sit well with me at the end, because it's really dingy and desolate. The way George Lucas sets this whole universe up, it's dingy, desolate, everyone's fighting and scraping and scrapping, and then you've got these massive fucking planets that just look amazing, where people are loaded, and it just, it doesn't sit right with me, the end bit.
No, they're all minted, right? Living these great lives in these big CGI palaces and stuff. And it's like, hooray, everything's going to change. It's like, well, your life's not bad, really, is it? You know, what are you celebrating exactly?
Exactly.
It makes no sense. You know, these are not people who have been immersed in the struggle. This is not the Rebel Alliance. You know, I just, yeah, I the end is so bad. And again, if I could watch the originals, you know, the music, Chris, Yub Nub.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It is so perfect. It was a little, you know, little celebration on Endor, and they're all happy and stuff, you know, playing drums on decapitated stormtroopers and stuff like that. Hooray, it's great. And, you know, the other thing is, putting in young Skywalker as well, and I know you can kind of retrofit and say, well, Hayden Christensen was really, you know, he was a Jedi, and then he died and became Darth Vader. So that's why we've CGI'd in Hayden Christensen as a Force Ghost. It's like, come on, that's a fucking stretch. Again, that's just Lucas thinking, oh, yeah, we'll play around with the technology, and this really joins up the original trilogy now with the prequels. It's bollocks. Fucking absolute bollocks. Just get the original guy. I think his name was Sebastian Shaw, if I remember. You know, he's the one who played, you know, Darth Vader when he takes the mask off and everything. Just leave him in. You know, don't CGI in fucking young Hayden Christensen. Makes no sense to me.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. So, Dave, shall we get into our review score? Oh, sorry.
Before we do, I just want to give another take, because this is something I picked up, I think it was a couple of months ago now, or, yeah, probably a couple of months ago. It was Jack from Pop Gorillas, so over on Comics in Motion as well, with Season's Greetings and everything. He did a short kind of Pop Gorilla episode on Return of the Jedi, and they were looking at all, you know, movies and things that should have won awards from Oscars and never did, or were never even in with a shout. And he made a great point about the editing for this end sequence in Return of the Jedi is phenomenal. Because if you think about it, you've got these different settings. You've got the battle going on in Endor. You've got, you know, Lando leading the charge, trying to take down the Death Star. But the shields are up, so they're reliant on the shields coming down, which is the battle on Endor. And then you've got the conflict with Luke and Darth Vader, and you've got this whole thing that we talked about before, where he's kind of, his thoughts are betraying him, and, you know, Darth Vader finally finds out that he's got a daughter as well. It is such good storytelling and editing, because it flows so well. And even though it's jumping from one setting to another, the story still flows perfectly. You know, because you've got the stuff going on down in Endor, you've got the Lando mission going on as well, and then the Emperor drops it to him that, you know, I fear the shields will be quite operational when your friends arrive. You know, and you're like, shit!
Here we go, yeah.
So I just think the way it flows is just perfect. Now, the problem with that is they've just almost tried to replicate it with every movie that they did since, you know, with this cutting away. If you think about the original, there was no cutting away to different settings, really. All you had was the Rebel Alliance, you know, so you had, you were there with the X-Wings and the fighter pilots, or you were back at the command center, or, you know, it would go to the other side and maybe you'd see things happening in the Death Star. There wasn't this changing completely of different battles going on in different locations and at the same time. And so that is something that I think I appreciate more on this rewatch, just thinking about how it's all edited and cut together there.
That's a good point. Never thought of that. Never thought of that at all, Dave. That is a good point.
Yeah, that is a really good episode.
I'll have to have a listen to that one. Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But anyway, sorry, Dave. I didn't mean to cut off before. Are we getting into the review?
Let's go.
So, Dave, I'll go first. Like I say, I know we've nitpicked a couple of things and that, but there's things I think people over the years, just because you've watched it so many times, that's what happens with these movies. There's always going to be bits that you don't like and bits that you do. And like I say, unfortunately, this edit that Disney have gone with, which is the George Lucas one from the late 90s, 2000, still doesn't sit well with me. But it's still an amazing, amazing film. I love it. I love the fact that at this point in time, it was the conclusion to this amazing trilogy, which I consistently watched over and over again. So I've got to send it to Cloud City, Dave. Doesn't matter what the nitpicks are. It's still a brilliant movie. It was so important to me as a kid growing up, and I loved every single minute of watching this again. I could put this on any time and watch it, Star Wars. Absolutely love it. So what about yourself, Dave?
Yeah, going to be boring, I'm afraid. Just absolutely love this movie. I so wish, though, that I could have gone back and watched the original. If I was scoring this, and I could score them separately, I might even mark this one down. Might even put it to Pleasantville. Those bits that they added in created a visceral reaction in me. I just absolutely hate it. The Darth Vader no thing is probably the worst, but just everything else, the ending, you know, the ridiculous, like, pipe music. It's like, fuck off. That is not how it should finish. And like you say, you go into these different settings across the whole galaxy, and everyone suddenly knows at the same time that the Death Star has been blown up, even though they didn't really know it was being created, or, you know, propaganda and everything that we saw in the prequels were that, well, people voted for this shit. They were happy about it. So, again, it all kind of makes very little sense to me, the edits. But I'm going to score this on the original theatrical cut. Just absolutely love it. I think there's bits of this movie which are slow in the middle, but nothing feels slow. It always seems to keep moving forward, and just could quote this bastard, you know, quite easily. You know, these lines that just pop up are so iconic. And like I say, the original trilogy still, for me, stands head and shoulders above, you know, what came after with the prequels and then the sequels. So Cloud City for me, all day long. Just absolutely love this one.
Brilliant, brilliant, mate. Absolutely great to go back on this. Now, Dave, next week's offering is somewhat completely different. Now, our great friend Blake has picked this one. Never heard of it. I've seen that it's at 9% on Metacritic, so I don't know what he's saying. There is articles. This could be the worst movie ever, so let's see. But we are going back to 2003, and it's a movie called The Room.
Hi, babe. I have something for you. I'm so happy I have you as my best friend, and I love Lisa so much.
Why do you want to know my secret, man?
Mom, he's not what you think he is. And I don't love him anymore.
really don't know, do you?
Maybe I know more than you think I do, Mark.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
God, forgive me.
Now, I was hoping you hadn't researched that.
only just.
But this is one of those that's... since the cat is almost out the bag, this is one of those that is discussed in the same breath as Samurai Cop, Chris.
Oh, brilliant.
As being possibly the worst movie that has ever been. So I'm not quite sure where we get it yet. Because it's not on any streaming services that I could find, but I'm sure we'll figure it out. But I've never watched it, to be honest. I just know it's legendary, and I'm kind of really looking forward to this. Chris, we have had such a run of great movies. I mean, last week we did another 48 Hours. Okay, sort of fell short of where we thought it, where we remembered it being. Before that, we had Almost Famous. Before that, we had The Straight Story. Then we had RoboCop, then we had Hooper, then before that we had Nighthawks, Wayne's World. We have done some absolute belters. I mean, before that we did Dracula, so that's probably where the run stops. So yeah. I think we need to get back to our bread and butter. We need to watch some absolute shit, and I suspect strongly... the room might be it.
Oh, don't worry, Dave. I've got one up my sleeve for my next pick. Don't you worry, my friend. Don't you worry. Anyway, if you want to torture us like Blake is trying to do, and I still say, I met Blake a few weeks ago, mullet game, un-fucking believable.
It's best on fire, mullet. That mullet game.
Oh, Dave.
Wow.
In person, it's even more impressive. I just wanted to stroke it. It's the best mullet I've ever seen, but amazing. And Blake's a top guy as well. So get over to Patreon. Patreon.com/The VHS Strikes Back. If you want to email us, thevhsstrikesback@gmail.com. And if you want to follow us on social media, @VHS Strikes Back. So today's roll call of honour is John Hammond, Blake, Maths, Jax, Herb, Lucky Lulu Green, Ken Gustafson, Dylan, Heath, Matt Bates, Carl, Paul, Alec, and Timothy. So thank you so much, guys, for supporting us. Everyone who supported us past and present, we really, really appreciate all your help and support. It's really, really humbling. So thank you, guys. So, Dave, I've done it again. What are you going to take us out with, my friend?
So many quotable lines, but I was feverishly trying to scroll through there. I couldn't find one that just nicely rounds off the trilogy. You know what, Chris? I am not going to finish this off with a quote. Instead of this ridiculous panpipe music that we've got at the end, I'm going to simply take us out with a bit of Yub Nub.
Sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's odd.
We can't
saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off. Want to ring the bell?
All right.
Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid
fool. Yeah, maybe
you're crazy.
I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 miles more.
I must correct you.